The John Gambling Show with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
People want to make it work. They want to make it work together. And I will protect their rights and the rights of everybody.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show.
What the city should be doing are those things that are absolutely critical where we can do it better than the private side.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Bill Ross. You've got that right. John Gambling, Mayor Michael Bloomberg on a Friday John Gambling Show. Mr. Mayor, welcome aboard. Good morning.
Good morning. Good weather today. Bad weather tomorrow. Good weather Sunday. And the financial markets are falling apart around the world. Other than that, everything's fine.
Everything is perfect.
Actually, everything's not perfect. I just wanted to mention one thing because we did. It was very tragic. There was a New York City police officer that's been serving overseas, and he was killed while on duty with the Army in Afghanistan. And I just wanted to say to the family and his friends how sorry we are. He was a narcotics officer, Brooklyn North, and he was among those 258, I think, members of the NYPD currently on military leave. And many of them are in Iraq and in Afghanistan putting their lives on the line. And this guy was 30 years old. Dion Taylor. I don't know what you ever say to the parents. Or
you have to do this all the time, though.
How do you ever say thank you for what your son did, putting his life on the line, regardless of what you think about the war? You know, it's tragic. There are young men and women. I never forget going over to Afghanistan maybe 7 years ago, and having lunch or dinner with all the young soldiers. Number one, the first shocking thing is the number of women in combat and how young they are. You and I, you know, they're younger than our kids, most of them. They really are. But there's a dedication. You look them in the eye. They do it for patriotism and sometimes pay a terrible price. And then we had the other night two officers shot.
For a turnstile violation.
For a turnstile jumper. Yeah, Jason Moss, I talked to him in his hospital bed and his wife, and he was released the next day. Shane Farina wasn't as lucky. His partner, he's still in critical but stable condition after undergoing surgery. I've talked to his wife. I'll go when he comes out and can talk a little bit more. I'll visit him again. I know Commissioner Kelly's been over there a number of times. But, you know, it just reminds you, whether it's overseas or here, there are bad people, and there are fortunately good people that are there protecting you and me. And a lot of people that do dangerous things, like firefighters that put their lives on the line every day. And a fire truck goes zipping by. More and more I start thinking to myself, they go into a fire, I just hope they're going to be okay. So, you know, we talk about the markets, we talk about the weather. This sort of puts things in perspective.
And I think, too, because we're going to be talking about all of those things and more, I think we need to always take a deep breath and maybe take a step back that no matter what we see before us here in the United States and what we have seen before us in the past and no doubt in the future as well, we have incredible capabilities because of who we are.
The tradition. And, you know, it's hard. I tried to explain to somebody one time that Americans are different because we came from every place else. So in one sense, we don't have this only America and only Americans because we're from every place. And in another sense, Americans hyphenate their last names or their nationalities.
Their nationalities.
Yeah, I'm an Irish American. Now, what does that mean? It means you're very proud of where you came from, and you're very proud of where you are. At least that's what it means to me. And it's different in the olden days, meaning, you know, 100 years ago, people tried to forget and hide where they came from. I always joke that America's the death of foreign languages. People wanted to get away from the customs and the dress and the food and the language and the way they lived and become Americans. And today, I think it's better. They want to adopt all the customs here, but they don't want to forget where they came from.
But it is very, very different. You're right.
Yeah,
it's part of the globalization. It's part of what's happening financially as well as socially.
Absolutely.
There's no question about it. I want to obviously get into the term limits. We will do that. The vote yesterday in the city council. Why don't I take a break when we come back? I will get into that with Mayor Michael Bloomberg here this morning.
Thank you.
Friday morning, 17 minutes after 8 o'clock. You will have the opportunity to talk with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Different telephone number this morning, so write this down, 800-321-8828. 321-8828. 800-321-8828. Never too early to get in line if you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg. All right, the City Council yesterday, a lot of conversation back and forth, even right down to this bill. The argument in chambers, 2922.
Democracy, people express themselves. I think the important thing is nobody lost any choice. If anything, the public has more choice because there'll be more candidates, at least one more in the mayor's race. Everybody had their own ideas. Everybody has their own motives. But what's important here is we've got to look to the future. I thought the UFT actually put out a statement, Randy Weingarten, saying they had preferred to change term limits by referendum, which everybody did. It just there wasn't the ability to do it. But Randy said, now's the time to look forward. We have to worry about, in a very difficult climate, keeping the city safe, improving our schools. And I've got to pull together all of the City Council people and the controller and the public advocate and the mayor, and we've all got to work together, and I think we all will.
Have you lost some of that goodwill on the City Council, you think?
No, legislators, if you, whenever you have a vote, make a permanent enemy of the people that vote against you, after a couple elections, you'll be standing there by yourself. That's not the way democracy works. There are times that you, and in fact, in business, people find that hard to understand. In business, sometimes you are in partnership with your competitor on one thing but compete on another. You sell to your competitor for one product and buy from them on another. You have to be able to have, it's not this black and white, good guys wear white hats, bad guys wear black hats, that from the old movies. Life is much more complex. And I think you're going to see all of the City Council people, no matter what they said on this issue, they've got to now come together and help us find something that's good for their constituents. And we're going into a very difficult economic times. You saw it today, this morning. It's really scary that what's happened in the European markets and the Asian markets this morning. And I assume it will carry on into the U.S. markets. At least the futures are telling us that that's what's going to happen. You have 8, 9, 10% declines in the whole market overnight, in one day. That used to be a year's
starting
change.
Place that is 40% less than where it was.
People who have retired have to start saying, wait a second, can I afford to live? Because no matter what you own, unless it is cash, you have a significant decline, whether it's 30% or 40%. It really doesn't make any difference. And I called some friends of mine who are retired just to check in. And, you can't be too nosy, but, I want to make sure they're okay. And whatever their retirement funds are clearly less than they were before. And, you think about somebody who's retired, it's hard to go back to work. Let's get serious. You and I are at the age to find another job is not easy. And particularly in a down market, it is very hard. So people are starting to get more and more worried. I don't think anybody should panic. It's a little bit hard. I'm trying to, on one hand, say things aren't going to, the wheels aren't going to come off the bus. But we clearly have some flat tires that we have to change. And we have to be optimistic. On the other hand, you have to be realistic. It is a good time to not spend that extra money to try to save a little bit. On the other hand, if we all do that, we're going to create the recession that we're worried about. And how you find that balance? From the city's point of view, what we've got to do is find ways to make sure that we continue the essential things. Essential things are keeping the streets safe and clean, keeping the schools improving, because that's the future. Keep investing in infrastructure. Try to help our culturals and make sure the parks keep growing. We're going to have a tougher time. Tourism is a very big part of our business. The dollar strengthening and dollar is just soaring all of a sudden. I've been talking about the dollar going up for 2-3 years, been wrong all the time. Finally happened. Happens with a vengeance. But, that's not good for us because it's going to make a cut back on the number of people that come here. And that means fewer jobs for our people here. Having said all of that, there's still plenty of bright lights. Yeah, I did a groundbreaking this week for a new movie studio in Queens. That business is making movies and commercials, television shows here is billions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of people. We've got to keep working on it. I'm just, thank God we saved as much as we did. Thank God we prepaid as many expenses as we did. Thank God we've diversified as much as we have. But have we done enough? We prepared for a downturn. Nobody prepares for a meltdown. There's probably no ways you can do it in a practical sense. Everybody says, well, I don't know if it's going to happen. We can't forego everything. We can't save everything.
You can't save enough.
Right. When we have good times, you have to some extent spend. And it's finding that right balance. And I think, in all fairness, with the city council and Christine Quinn, who's the speaker, as you know, and has done a spectacular job there, all of the city council members can go back to no matter where they were in term limits, they can go back to their constituents and say, I was part of a city council that did prepare us somewhat for the future. Probably more than the state did, probably more than the federal government did. Enough? No, we're still going to have some very tough choices to make here. Pension systems are going to need more funding, and we don't have the money. MTA is going to need more money. We don't have the money. More people are going to call us up looking for services. We don't have the money. And yet we have to do those things. We have to keep mass transit going. We have to help the less fortunate. We have to make these investments. And so how are we going to do it? We're going to find out whether we have the courage to say either or. Everybody is going to feel some pain. They'll all be on the steps of City Hall saying, you know, cut the other guy, not me. Truth of the matter is everybody is going to have to share in it, and we're going to have to make some choices. We can't do all the things we want to do.
Have you signed the bill that was passed yesterday?
No, there's a process before it gets to the mayor. It takes a few days, and there's lots of legalities. But
well, there have been questions of lawsuits.
There will be some lawsuits. The Corporation Council is reasonably confident that this has been litigated before. What the City Council did is perfectly legal. The City Charter says you can do some things both ways, and there's no reason that one is any more or less legal than the other. They're both legal, and in fact, you can make the case that since everybody is represented by a city councilman, you know, we have a government. We have 8.3 million people in this city with 300,000 employees, a $60 billion budget. You don't run that by taking referendums on everything. You see California, where referendum process really leads you to having two laws that can't exist at the same time, and there's a lot of that sort of stuff. You know, this is what it is. But I think it's now time, and the markets are telling you very seriously that you have to go and focus on how are we going to find jobs for people? How are we going to keep people coming to the city so that we have an economic base? How are we going to keep doing the things that we want to do? And nobody's ever seen anything like this, certainly not in our lifetime. And I was talking to my mother yesterday, asking her about 1929, 30, 31. In those days, unemployment got up to 25% in this country.
Unimaginable.
Today unemployment's 5-6%, depending where and how you measure it. So by that standard, things could be a lot worse. Let us pray they don't get that way. And our job is to keep New York from getting that way. We've yelled and screamed at Congress and said, don't spend money on bridges to nowhere. Spend money on things that create jobs. The last stimulus package, I thought, was a total waste of $150 billion. We're talking about the $700 billion bailout fund. They wasted $150 billion so we could buy some more flat-screen TVs. Now, you know, somebody's going to call in and say, oh, I was helped. Some people were helped. But it was a terrible investment. They should have done, which I hope they'll do in the next package, which Governor Rendell and Governor Schwarzenegger and I have talked about ad nauseum. You got to invest in those things that will create jobs and give us a long-term effect. And people say, well, you can't get money to work that quickly. That's not true. States and cities around this country have projects that have been approved by the voters, been approved by boards and environmental and withstood court challenges, ready to go. They just don't have the money to do it. Those are the kinds of things that would create jobs and would give us something for the future. The problem is they're not in every district. They're not in every state.
Which, of course, is what Congress wants to
make sure everybody's
happy. Makes
the politics very difficult. Right. I think it's at this point in time, the old ways of doing business where everybody gets something in order to sign on just probably isn't possible. It just, you can't do business that way when you have this kind of crisis. You can have that luxury of wasting some money to build a consensus so everybody's happy, and you, when the answer is either or, you say a little bit of both. That's a different world than what we're entering right now.
All right. Before we let it go, the term limits, are you still going to run for a third term?
I've said I plan to. Absolutely.
I was wondering maybe overnight you changed your mind.
No, my mother says, why do you want to do this? You know, the reason to do it is that we have an enormous challenge, and I like challenges. And I think that I really believe that people will pull together here. And I'd like to be a part of that pulling together and focusing on the future. I will call next week everybody in the city council, no matter whether they voted the way I wanted them or not, to brief them on the economy and what we're doing, and because they're going to have to be part of the solution. I will call the people who spent money to stop this and say, look, I need you to help for this. That was a battle. Some people won, some people lost. I happen to be on the winning side that time. I probably won't be on the next time. And it's certainly not a foregone conclusion as to who's going to get elected a year from November. I've got 13 months that I've been elected to continue to be mayor. I'm going to do the best job I can. I'm going to take the most difficult positions. My political guys will gag and say, you can't do that. It's not good politics. You know, we are here today because we made the difficult decisions. We're going to keep doing it.
Your political guys, some of them were advising you not to get into this fight over term limits.
I don't know that that's, that seems, I think that's a little bit overstating it. They tried to point out to me that there are other things that you can do in other parts of government. A couple of them wanted me to run for governor. I've said, no, I don't want to run for governor. I'll do everything I can to help David Paterson be a good governor. And whoever runs against him, I'll probably stay out of the race and but advise, give my 2 cents worth to all of them. Washington, I don't have any reason to think anybody will call me, nor do I am I looking for it. I think the best job for me is the job that I've had for the last 7 years. I love doing it, and so far the people seem happy. Whether they will in the future, going to be very tough 13 months, John. We're going to have a lot of very tough decisions. People say, well, you can't touch this program, you can't touch that program. All of the money is in the popular programs. So if you are going to have to cut, it's the popular programs. Waste, so small you couldn't find it. Programs that aren't valuable, that's your programs. Mine are all valuable. We'll always go through that. But in the end, 80% of our money is in education, police, fire, sanitation, correction.
Would you expect that there would be a primary?
No idea, and I have no idea how I get on the ballot. But those are things down the road.
Will you run as an independent?
We'll see. I haven't even thought about it. That's 6 months from now. What I've got to do is make sure that I and my staff focus on running the city. All of those things, I know the papers and you want to talk about them, but they're things, number one, you can't plan this far in advance. Number two, it takes your way. I will get reelected if the public thinks I'm doing a good job, not based on how you run, which line, which ad, how much you spend, all of that stuff. At this point, they know who you are, and it's expensive to get your message out. And I can see that down the road, but that's a long ways from now. What I've got to do is make sure that I've got a good message. And so I'm going to focus on that. And I think the challenge that we have today is so unprecedented. I mean, I just looked this morning. I really think that the financial crisis is over. Now it's a recession that we've got to deal with. It's very different. And yet I woke up this morning and the markets, so when I got up, I was up at 3 in the morning and I looked and Tokyo was down 10%, 9%.
And they're calling it panic selling over there.
What you've seen here is hedge funds and mutual funds selling because they know that they're going to get redemptions at the end of the year. And so they have to have the cash available. You're seeing college endowments selling stocks because it's the only thing in their portfolio that's liquid. They have all these sophisticated investments. Remember, Harvard, Yale, and Princeton have had the best investment record of any funds, and they're the biggest funds in the pools of money in the world, and they've had the best performance. People say, oh, you can't move money around if you're that big. Turns out you can. They've done a very good job, but they're not liquid. And the smaller pension or endowment funds for universities, they're really panicking. They're selling stocks. And then there's margin calls. You saw some in the red stuff. Blackstone. Obviously, that was a margin call. I was watching a bunch of stocks yesterday. People have borrowed against their stocks, and all of a sudden the value is down. It's exactly the same thing. People borrowed against their homes. And when the value of the home went below the value of the mortgage, a lot of people walked away. In this case, when the value of your stocks go below the value, the amount of money you borrowed against them, you know, you can't walk away. The bank just sells the stocks automatically for you. And so it's just feeds on itself, and then the more it goes down. And you say, what stops it? Everything has a life, and it just slowly, one day everybody says enough is enough. I actually thought we were there last week. Buffett said a couple weeks ago, and I agree with him, you buy stocks at these levels, you'll probably be long-term good. And my advice, I shouldn't be giving investment advice to anybody, but diversify, buy mutual funds, dollar cost average. If you had a dollar today, I'd put 20% of them into the market today, no more. A month from now, do another 20%, and then get back. Don't look at the newspaper every day. Get back to work.
Pull the covers over your head and wait a few days or weeks. Mayor Michael Bloomberg right here on News. All right, Mayor Michael Bloomberg here on a Friday in Studio 4 with John Gambling at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Different telephone number this morning. If you're trying the old one, it's not going to work today. Here is the new number if you've got a question for the mayor, 800-321-8828. 800-321-8828, 321-8828. All right, we talked about all of the financial things that are going on in our world and what the future looks like for both the city. Applies to the state as well. The worst thing, at least from my viewpoint, would be in this situation as we move forward, is for taxes to get raised. But it might be the only answer, correct?
Well, I think that the crisis is so big that you have to first reduce expenses and then also find alternative revenue sources. Now, alternative revenue sources could be a euphemism for tax increase, but there are other things. I've talked about, the federal government wanted to give us $384 million. We walked away from it. There are fees. You can toll things, roads, bridges, tunnels. I mean, those are other ways.
It still bucks out of people's pockets.
It still bucks out of everybody's pocket. And it's got to come from someplace,
exactly.
And the someplace is us. If it comes from businesses, businesses pass that through in the cost of the products you buy from them and in reduced number of people that they employ. So in the end, we are the ones that get these services, and we are the ones that pay for it. And, we can hide it, we can categorize it, we can say, well, it's slightly different impact, some things are tax deductible, some are not, but the bottom line is it's got to come from us. And you're right, the state has problems. Some cases problems are even worse than ours. We have three economically sensitive taxes: sales, income, and business taxes. And the state has those three as well. In fact, all three of those, it's really the state that passes the law. They just do it for us. We don't have the right to change those ourselves. We can lobby the state and ask them to, when they're putting in a sales tax for themselves, put in one for us as well. But those are state, the state passes them. But we have them, and they have them. Percentages are slightly different. But if our taxes, those three go up, theirs go up. If ours go down, theirs go down. You even pay them in most cases on the same form. So anybody that says that our experience with those, we budgeted them for down 12% this fiscal year, we're a quarter of the way plus into the year, and we're actually running a little bit worse than that. I don't want to overstate that because let's see how the second quarter goes. That's when a lot of the tax revenue comes in. But unlike the state, we have a property tax, and the property tax is much more stable. It doesn't move up and down anyways near as quickly. So we have our total taxes, we're projecting down 6%, the economically sensitive part of that down 12%. Hopefully that's a conservative enough investment, but I'm starting to get a little bit more worried than I've been before. The state doesn't have the property tax. So their taxes, the three I talked about, are a bigger percentage of their total revenue. And what the state does is the state taxes everybody, and they provide some services directly. For example, the state police is the most obvious one, but there's a lot of things the state does, and they spend money on, and they have employees, and they negotiate contracts and that sort of thing. Then they give money to agencies. For example, the MTA, the state puts in money, the city puts in money, the strap hangers put in money. Then there is a lot of money that they take from the state, from the counties that have more revenue, like New York City, which is really the economic engine of the state, and they distribute those funds to the other counties that don't have the luxury of the businesses we have and the tourism, the icons that attract tourists and that sort of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way government works. The wealthy help those who aren't so lucky. Upstate is really, there's a belief upstate that we're taking their money. The reality is exactly the reverse. But they're going to have to cut back a lot of the programs. And you saw that if you take a look at the monies that they send to the counties, there's two giant things. All the rest is relatively small. One is Medicaid, not Medicare, Medicaid. And the other is education aid. And Medicaid is basically for seniors. And the politics of taking something away from seniors is obviously going to be very difficult for them. And the education thing, all of the senators made a deal with the teachers union. They won't cut education in return for support in November. It's a bipartisan thing on both sides of the aisle.
It happened 10 days ago, right in the glare of sunlight. Right.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, nobody seemed
nobody,
to...
Nobody,
nobody had a problem with that.
Yeah,
that
nobody
you
had a
want
problem.
To talk about democracy, that's it. If they can't cut those two, I don't know what they do. But that's their problem. And the governor is going to have to lead the charge. And I think he has done. Keep in mind, this governor has only been in office for 7 months, something like that. I think David's done a good job. It's a very difficult job. Nobody wants to govern in a down time. The legislature is going to have to make hard choices. And this is a legislature, like our own, incidentally, and me included, which haven't had to make the real difficult choices in a while. Now, New York City had the fiscal crisis when I came into office. So we've had $5 and $6 billion deficits and got ourselves through. State hasn't had that problem. The state has a much looser financial structure or oversight. We have to have a balanced budget on a cash basis at the end of every year. The state can borrow money for operating expenses, maybe bad long-term policy, but they can do that. So the state's never really had to come together and face the either-or. They've always been able to do something for everybody. They've always, and you can see now, they don't want to sit down and talk about this till after the election. But after the election, they're going to have to do it. The governor's going to have to lead the charge.
The governor wants $13 billion cut out of the budget.
If I can help him, I will, other than I've got to make sure that we don't balance the whole state budget. We're going to have our own problems.
There's another real danger that lurks out there that New Yorkers and others might get the non-filing syndrome that Charlie O'Byrne has.
Well, I don't know what's the truth of the matter is. You know, the press writes a story. Who knows whether it's true? I can just tell you.
I haven't seen any denials.
My knowledge of Charlie O'Byrne is how good a job he has done for the state and for the governor since the governor came into office. I really didn't even know him before then, and I joked the other day that the first time I met him was in the governor's office, and I think I started screaming at him. but he has turned out to be really a phenomenally competent and valuable guy for the state and the governor. And I don't know what's going to happen. I hope it works out, because if he's not there, it will be much more difficult for the governor. Now, some people say, well, you know, how can he, after he's had these problems, help the governor? Doesn't it take away some of his credibility? It may be, but Charlie O'Byrne's smart, competent, knowledgeable, and the governor needs him, and the state needs to have a strong governor. So I hope it works out.
All right,
and I'll do everything I can to help.
A couple of smaller items here than some of the overarching ones that we've been talking about. Are you aware, did you see that they're holding hearings, Metro North is holding hearings on whether or not it would be a good idea to charge a dollar surcharge from Grand Central to Yankee Stadium Station? It's a hearing now. It hasn't been done.
You know, look, we are going to have to do something about the MTA. Metro North, Long Island Railroad are part of the MTA, as are the city subways and buses. And the governor asked Dick Ravitch, who used to run the MTA, a very competent guy, devoted a lot of his life to public service. He's doing a study for the governor and the
House. Due in December, I think.
Yeah, after the election.
Right.
That's the real key. On what the alternatives are and what the needs are. And I don't think there's any secrets here. They don't have any money for capital improvements. They don't have any money or enough money to pay the bills. And unless they make the capital improvements, the bills to operate it are going to keep going up because they're not going to have the new technologies that will let them do more with less. So it's sort of, and all of this happens at the time that the rest of the state and everything else is falling apart.
You talk about tsunami.
It's the perfect storm. You know, sadly, we didn't, a year ago, address the issue of how you raise, how you get money for capital for the MTA. Now we've got to do it in a world where maybe it's not even doable, and that really is a serious thing. Thank God we totally financed the extension of the number 7 line going down the west side, which will open up an enormous area of development for the city so that there will be construction jobs going into the future and more people moving here and that, all that stuff. And we sold all the bonds and locked in the money and put it in a safety, in a very safe investments, money market stuff, governments, and that subway system is being built. The other big capital projects, whether it's bus lanes with technology that lets them zip through or more buses, whether it is other subways that you could build, or you know, it's a variety of mass transit things. Another line going out, some people, it's very controversial. Some people want a third line going out to Long Island, some don't. Going north, Metro North. You know, all of these things need capital improvements, and we don't have any ways to do it. And we had a couple of ways that didn't work out. Okay, let's pull together and find some other ways. Forget about pointing fingers and blame. We are where we are. Let's just go forward.
All right, Mr. Mayor, we got some folks on the phone. We continue, Mayor Mike Bloomberg and you this morning here at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Mr. Mayor, grab your headphone there, and we will go to line 4. That would be Carolyn. Carolyn, you've got the mayor. Go.
Mayor, good morning.
Good morning.
It's an honor to speak to you.
And
I'd like to know if you would consider coming over to Bridgehead in New Jersey, where we could really, really use someone like you.
Mr. Corzine might not like that idea.
John Corzine I've known forever because he came from the securities business, used to run Goldman Sachs. Carolyn, you're nice to say so, and I have nothing but good things to say about New Jersey. My mother came from Jersey City, Dickinson High School. And we depend on a lot of people from New Jersey coming over here and spending money and working here. We have to make sure that we have good mass transit between here and there. New Jersey's going to have the same problems, John, that New York has. The states have been spending money, and the revenue all of a sudden side is going down. New Jersey has some other problems. Our pension systems, both at a state and a New York City level, are very well funded here. Now, they may need more money with the collapse of all of their investments. New Jersey, the legislature has been, I think it's fair to say, not quite as responsible as they could have been or should have been. And people that work for or have worked for the state, their pensions aren't anywhere near secure. Now, you know, in the court of law, eventually they're going to have to come up with the money. The taxpayers are going to have to do this. Going to be some real difficult times. And Governor Corzine has exactly the same issue that Governor Patterson has, and that, you know, all the mayors have around the country. You've got to get the legislature to understand that the days of, as Hugh Carey said, the days of wine and roses are over. And we've got to, at least for the foreseeable future, can't do a little bit of everything. We've got to do some either-ors, and we can't do it as lavishly as we would have liked. We've got to take a look and say we still need to have that building. For example, we've got to take a look at the Port Authority's got the problem of we want a great terminal for people from New Jersey to come in to New York City, but maybe we can't afford the terminal that we wanted to have right after 9/11. We said, let's be grand and let's build a real something that sends a message. Maybe we can't afford to send that message in the same ways. We'll have to find other ways to educate future people about how disastrous 9/11 was and whatever. Anyways, Carolyn, you're nice to say so.
Thank you, Carolyn. Let me go to Pat. Pat, you've got the mayor. Quickly to your question, please.
Yes, good morning,
good
Mayor.
Morning.
I am Pat Minichiello from Brooklyn. I have a question for the mayor. I am not Joe the Plumber asking questions. I'm a retired transit.
Ask the question, please, because we don't have much time.
Yes, I sent a letter about over 100 days about affordable housing to you, because I went to that picnic that you had, the Gracie Mansion, for CERT, and I tried to ask questions. Oh, no, you got to...
All right, what's your question?
How can I know I was campaigning for you.
How do you? What's your question, please?
And I'm wondering how I can get this letter to you, Mayor.
Oh well, just you can send the letter to New York City, or you can email us through call 311. They'll give you the address. But the question is about affordable housing, and we are trying to build as much affordable housing as we can. You know, there's a silver lining in every cloud. Economy slowing down, construction costs should come down, let us build more affordable housing. Takes a while. Of course, at the same time, we don't have the monies that we did before, but we are not going to walk away from our affordable housing commitment. We've taken our four-year capital budget and spread it out to 5 years, so some things will go a little bit slower, but we're not going to walk away. We have to build housing, John, for people that made this city, and you can't just say everything's market rate and, you know, let those. We want wealthy people to come here. There are tax base. We also want people to be able to stay here who grew up here and who do a lot of the other jobs. You know, that they don't make a lot of money, but they devote their lives there, you know, to making our society better and raising their families, and that's really important.
Mr. Mayor, I'll tell you, this hour has gone very quickly, and the conversation always has circled back, no matter what the question is, always circled back around the things financial.
We're gonna, and that's going to be true for a while, I think.
I'm aware of that, but it's interesting, and I think it's like cold water on the face for a lot of people.
Yep.
And anyway, we will talk next Friday.
Looking forward to it.
Do the best you can this weekend, and we will see you next Friday. That is.